Before we read the scripture, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you lift all boundaries and hindrances to receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord through the power of the gospel at work in those you have decided to redeem. We thank you, our Father. We have true freedom to live in obedience to you, any place, any time, to anyone, as your servants. We ask that in this passage of Scripture, that we would listen to your voice speaking to us of what is true freedom in Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So the scripture is Acts 8, 26 through 40. Acts 8, 26 through 40. Reading from God's Word. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep that was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation and justice, in his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. May God bring us his blessing as we have need through his word. I want to begin this message with these words. I grew up in Tappan, New York, which is not part of New York City, about 15 miles from West Point. So often, around Independence Day, my family would go to West Point, along with thousands of other people, because there is no place of more significance for Independence Day than West Point. Because at West Point in 1775, George Washington commissioned emissaries to find a protective fortress to prevent the British from sailing down the Hudson River Valley to cut off New England from the rest of the Continental Army. The place chosen was West Point. And the reason West Point was chosen was because of its location. The river bends so that narrowly so that it looks like an island. West Point has high cliffs over it. And because of where it is, high winds and tides make it very difficult to navigate it at certain times of the year. It was the most secure fortress that the Continental Army had in America. In 1778, that landmark, West Point, was not only strategic, but while George Washington and his troops were suffering during the winter of Valley Forge, the Americans at West Point were able to use the unique terrain and configuration to prevent the British from going down the Hudson River. And large chains were linked from West Point across the entire river. Do you know how large those links of the chains are? Equivalent to a dinner plate. It was so heavy, they had to have log rafts on which those chains were put. My point is this. The monuments, the restored strategic fortifications, the statues of generals and fighting men, all point to the fact freedom is never free. They all tell us that freedom politically was a struggle. From Valley Forge to Normandy, from Gettysburg to the Philippines, from West Point to Incheon, freedom has never, ever been free. And those monuments not only point to the past, they remind future generations freedom is never free. But what I want, this passage of scripture impresses on us is not simply, well, we have a nation of freedom because others sacrificed. What this passage of scripture emphasizes is that the gospel of Jesus Christ alone, his blood, his righteousness, saves us from our greatest enemies. And no one is truly free unless they have turned in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ alone. Because what the Bible teaches us is we are all born in bondage to sin. That's why we want to sin. Why do we want to sin? Because we're sinners.
Amen.
And only the blood and righteousness of Christ can free you. That's the good news of the gospel. And this passage emphasizes we are all called to serve the gospel of Jesus by being submissive, by being saturated, and by being servants. First, being submissive. You know, when Philip was installed as a deacon, he was full of the Holy Spirit. That means he exhibited the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. That's what it means to be full of the Holy Spirit. Put in one word, it means to be submissive to the leading of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Ephesians 5:18 says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, as we read about Philip's sensitivity and submission to the Holy Spirit, recognize that it was only because Philip was submissive to the Holy Spirit that he could be used by Jesus Christ as a channel of God's grace and mercy to anyone, including the Ethiopian eunuch. In other words, his sensitivity and submission to the Holy Spirit was a major factor in God using him as God's instrument to bring the gospel first to the Samaritans that resulted in joy. And then when he leaves the eunuch at the end of our passage and is carried away, what does the eunuch do? He goes away, he's rejoicing. The gospel always brings joy when you receive it. When you live your life for Jesus Christ in obedience to his will, the result will always be joy. That's the emphasis of the passage as it relates to Philip. You know, you don't get filled with the Holy Spirit once, and then from then on, you live in your own strength. Our hearts are all like helium balloons. We lose strength. We face trials. We face temptations. And there is an absolute necessity for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit moment by moment, day by day. The Christian life is a constant yielding to the Holy Spirit, resisting the temptations of the flesh and living in yieldedness to God. It is a continual surrender to the Holy Spirit to resist desires, thoughts, attitudes, opinions, and temptations that are contrary to the will of God, and to yield ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit. And what are we told in this passage? Well, Philip was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Filled with the Holy Spirit. The question is, who controls you? The filling of the Holy Spirit is not how much of the Spirit you have or I have. It's how much of you does the Holy Spirit have. Think of the Holy Spirit as not simply a pouring into you, because when you're born again, we're told you receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit when you're born again by faith. Whoever believes in me, John 7:37-38, out of his innermost being will flow what? Rivers of living water. So think of the filling of the Holy Spirit as you releasing through obedience to Jesus Christ, obedience to Christ, and the willingness which Philip had, I will serve you any place, anywhere, at any time. That is the characteristic of Philip's life. So Philip is sensitive to the unfolding guidance of God. Look at the passage. And we see this guidance. First of all, we see it in that Philip listened to the Holy Spirit in the midst of persecution. God brought persecution. And what did Philip do? Did Philip curve in on himself and get preoccupied with himself and his suffering and his pain, and enclose into himself instead of going to God as his refuge and using fruitfully his persecution? The whole church is being persecuted. They don't curve inward. They move outward, first to Almighty God And then to those who do not know God, the Samaritans and those in that region. Point is this, Philip listened to God. Now that's simple, but it takes great discipline to listen to God. You may be listening to 10,000 voices, including your own, but not God. You may not want to listen. And sometimes we are so burdened that we say to ourselves, I'm not up to listening. But curving in to ourselves in the midst of difficulty is a sin. We are to go to God for refuge. We are to listen to the Holy Spirit. That's our greatest need in trial. We are to listen to Jesus. What did Jesus do on the cross? Did he get absorbed with himself? He went outward to God. My God, why have you forsaken me? He was listening to Scripture. That's Psalm 22:1. My God, you've forsaken me so that my people will never be forsaken because I'm bearing the curse of their sin and separation. Father, forgive the people who have nailed me to the cross, and that includes Frank Marsh, because my sin and your sin put him there. He went out in practical love. Woman, Mary, behold your son. My earthly provision for your future needs. To the thief, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus was perfectly obedient on the cross. This is the point I want to make with you. The point is, how are you listening to God? Are you listening to the voice of God in Scripture? Are you saying, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil? Why? Why? Because you are with me. Are you listening? That's the greatest promise of Scripture, that God will be with us. Are you listening to the voice of God? That is true freedom in Christ, because Christ alone gives the capacity to listen and do. The one who walks with us through difficulty is a gentle Savior to the wayward. He knows our temptation to be self-focused, inattentive, forgetful, and he has given us the Holy Spirit to listen. Philip and the other believers listened to the Holy Spirit, who moved them out of their safe Jerusalem and out into Samaria with the gospel. They did not curve inward. Think of it. Philip goes to Samaria and God uses him greatly in a great crusade. The people of Samaria, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, are repenting of their sin. They're experiencing salvation. The word of God is flourishing. It's an exciting city, a growing congregation. And all of a sudden, what does our passage of Scripture say? An angel of the Lord took Philip and brought him out into a desert where he can preach to lizards. No, the Holy Spirit brings him to a congregation of one. Someone, a eunuch, who God would bring to salvation. God is working the whole way. And if Philip had been unresponsive to the Holy Spirit, the text says that Philip listened to the Holy Spirit while he was in the Spirit, we are told. The angel led him out to Gaza. And if Philip had not been responsive, what could he have done? He said, "Lord, I thought I was going to have a broader ministry. And here you are leading me into a desert." He didn't say that at all. He didn't even think it. Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, "Lord, I'll serve you anywhere, anytime, in any place you call me to." Prominence doesn't matter. We should never think something's not worth doing for the Lord if it's not big and other people can't see it. If you have that attitude, stop and repent.
Amen.
What matters to God is obedience and faithfulness, not whose eyes are looking at you. So then we have submission. Now we have saturation. Saturation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. From the upward view, we see the sovereign power of God at work in the eunuch's heart. Look at the passage in particular. Verse 29, "And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' This Ethiopian eunuch had returned from Jerusalem to worship God." He's on a quest searching for God. And from the standpoint of from above, God is sovereignly working in this Ethiopian eunuch's heart as he reads the book of Isaiah. 53 of all chapters, the clearest presentation of the suffering of Jesus Christ in the whole Old Testament. The Holy Spirit has kept this Ethiopian eunuch hungry for God when he must have been frustrated after his spiritual pilgrimage going to Jerusalem to worship. Why do I say that? I say for this reason. Eunuchs, according to the Old Testament law of God, were not permitted to be in the temple. They were broken physically because of what they did to their bodies. And that was symbolic of being broken spiritually. He returns, likely, he may have gone to the court of the Gentiles, but he didn't go to the inner court. He didn't go right where the presence of God was. He wasn't allowed to. He was unfit for the presence of God. But God is doing a sovereign work in his heart. And so what happens is, Philip comes near to him as he's reading Isaiah 53. And what happens is the Holy Spirit is opening the heart of this Ethiopian eunuch, and at the same time, the Holy Spirit is going to use Philip's spirit-filled obedience to accomplish God's sovereign plan. What you have is the transforming power of the gospel working in the heart of the Ethiopian eunuch, as at the same time, Philip, filled with the Holy Spirit, opens up Isaiah 53 to the eunuch, and God redeems him, the eunuch, by his grace. This is a marvelous truth. When God is determined to save someone, he must open the heart. He must open the heart. Because naturally, we resist God. And then he brings his word through someone's obedience to God to that person, and then God sovereignly applies the word to bring that person to repentance and faith. This eunuch was considered unfit for the presence of God. But he holds in his hand Isaiah 53, that is the answer and remedy to his unfitness. Do you ever feel unfit for the presence of God? In the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are made fit to be forgiven and saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ alone, through his saving grace. What is he reading? He's reading these words, Isaiah 53, that forecast 800 years before Jesus is born, that Jesus will suffer on the cross. This is a marvelous passage. What is he reading? These words, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. That's Jesus. Yet he opened not his mouth. He didn't rail. He didn't curve inward. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And then he asked, the eunuch asked Philip, who's this about? And Philip is so saturated with Christ because he sees Jesus in the Old Testament that he explains the good news and the need to turn to Christ alone. Who is true freedom found in? It is found in Jesus Christ alone. God is a just God. God is a perfectly righteous God. And this Isaiah 53 says we've all gone our own way. God has set out the way, perfect obedience to him. But none of us could ever attain to that because we are born separated from God with a sinful human nature. That's why we sin. And we are under the wrath of God. We are under the punishment of God. The debt of our sin must be paid. And what does Isaiah see? He sees that unless the good shepherd dies like a lamb is sheared, in harmlessness, innocence, and perfect patience, there is no rescue. The lamb must die. He's your deliverer. He's the eunuch's deliverer. And if God is perfectly just, and if we are under the wrath of God, what has to happen? Jesus paid the infinite price through his blood in perfect love to redeem you and me from our sin. There is nowhere else, there is no one else who can save you, but you must believe. You must trust, you must repent, you must obey. What does that mean? You have to abandon any hope of saving yourself. And that includes believing that a political system can ever save you, or a parent can save you, or doing good can save you. There is no spiritual freedom from the condemnation of sin in the United States government. None. Or any other. There is only salvation through Christ. Do you know, if you want to take "Just As I Am" as a beautiful summary of what God did for the Ethiopian eunuch, "Just As I Am, Gentile eunuch sinner, with every barrier broken down, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." Have you come to Jesus, and are you continuing to trust him? And then he said, what did the eunuch say? What prevents me from being baptized, right? In other words, baptism is what? It's a sign that you've already trusted in Christ, right, as a believer. And it's a confirmation of what Jesus Christ has done for you. That's true of all the two sacraments. They are not about you. They are about what Jesus Christ has done for you. What prevents me? Now, in closing, what prevents me? That's a beautiful word. In other words, there's nothing that hinders the unfit eunuch from being fit to be brought into an eternal saving relationship from God, because God breaks all the barriers down by his grace. And he wants to give public testimony to that fact in baptism. And I close with this servant. You know, Philip's ministry brought joy. So freedom is submission. Freedom is being saturated with the gospel, and freedom is loving others with the power of the gospel. Philip loved the Samaritans. Philip loved the Jews, and Philip loved the Africans. That's what the Ethiopian was. Being submissive to God, being saturated with the gospel, he loved people. God's paths always lead to people. On the surface, the Ethiopian eunuch seems to be searching for God, but it's the reverse. God is searching for the Ethiopian eunuch, and that's the reason God brought him to read Isaiah 53 and brought Philip. God was using Philip as a channel, but God was doing the saving. When we seek to be witnesses for Jesus, it is God who is doing the work through us. So be submissive to Christ, be saturated in the gospel, and be a servant of Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that through your rich grace, you have redeemed us in spite of our sin, by causing your Son to bear it as a lamb slaughtered so that we might be forgiven, that you have indwelt us by the Holy Spirit, enabling us to be obedient to you. Oh God, may we live in the freedom for which you have saved us, to serve one another in love, to serve you in love. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.